the moment that I was the most afraid is, I would say, now. During the umbrella movement, we were only worried about, you know, being arrested, being sent to prison, etc. But nowadays, in the movement this year, we would worry about being killed in the protests or being killed by pro-Beijing mafia. So it is a totally different atmosphere compared to umbrella movement or any moment in the Hong Kong history before.
From 2728 Pictures, I'm J.R. Byersmith, and this is Just Dropping In. On this episode, we dive into the relentless pro-democracy fight of Agnes Chow Tang and her childhood friend and fellow frontline activist, Joshua Wong. All right, so you're home now.
Yes,
okay.
Just arrived.
It's 11:30 p.m., and Agnes has just wrapped up another long day in Hong Kong. Knowing how relentless her schedule is, I was curious what a day's end actually looks like for her.
I think for most of the Hong Kong people, after we arrive home, especially in these few months, after we arrive home, we will immediately check our phone and computer or even TV on any news happening in Hong Kong, any protests happening right now. Well, there is actually a protest right now. So we will immediately check our phone. Is there any protest right now? Is anyone get hurt because of police violence? Is anyone being shot by the police, etc.? So we will check on the news every day, nearly every moment.
So I have a question about your name. Is Agnes a name from someone in the family or?
I'm a Catholic, actually. And
I read that there's a patron saint, Agnes of Rome, right?
Yes, and she's a very kind of famous figure.
Yeah, I saw that it means purity.
Oh, really? I don't know that.
Yeah, it started with, I think it was Greek, and then it became Roman.
No, I didn't know that my English name has such meaning.
Yeah, I didn't know if that's something that your parents ever talked to you about.
I just know the meaning of my Chinese name, but not the English one.
What's the meaning of your Chinese name?
My Chinese name is Chow Tang, and Chow is my family name. And Tang is my, you know, first name. And then the meaning of the word Tang in Chinese language, one of the very old meaning, means a very important part of a building. So that includes the meaning that they want me to be a very important part in the community, or you know in the community I belong to.
Wow. You are living your name.
No, I'm not.
You're literally living your name.
No, it's just, yeah, I'm nothing.
Oh, okay. That's a very modest response. It's nice to hear that, you know, it's almost like your family knew that you would try to make an imprint on the world. You were 6 months old when Hong Kong got its independence. Do you ever think about that?
It's being ruled by China. Yes.
Yeah.
My whole life being ruled by China.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the handover ceremony for Hong Kong, held jointly by the Government of the United Kingdom and the Government of the People's Republic of China.
On June 30th, 1997, Britain handed over Hong Kong to the People's Republic of China and ended 156 years of colonial rule. One of the many dignitaries in the crowd that night was former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher. 13 years earlier, she had signed an accord with the then Chinese premier that set the table for this event. What the two countries agreed to was a one-country, two-systems arrangement, meaning Hong Kong would remain unchanged through 2047.
Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, I should like, on behalf of Her Majesty the Queen and of the entire British people, to express our thanks, admiration, affection, and good wishes to all the people of Hong Kong.
After Sir Charles read a farewell speech on behalf of the Queen, the flag of the United Kingdom is lowered to make way for the five-starred red flag of the People's Republic of China. It's like watching an Olympic closing ceremony with more pomp and circumstance. And rather than a torch being passed, what was being passed over was a real opportunity for Hong Kong's self-determination. It's this right for self-determination within a democracy that Agnes and Joshua began fighting for in 2012 at just 14 years old. If you haven't seen the Netflix film Teenager versus the Superpower, it's an exceptional look at how this student-led group ignited millions and started what later became known as the Umbrella Revolution.
He encouraged normal, ordinary Hong Kong people to care about Hong Kong.
It's the Joan of Arc story, right? The youngster who can see the world clearly comes into a complicated adult conflict.
The sense of scale could not be larger.
I didn't realize it would be so hot.
Okay, let's jump to secondary school and the decision to join scholarism. Had you ever thought about activism before that?
You know, the anti-national education movement was the first movement that I got involved in. And before this movement, I knew nothing about politics. I knew nothing about, you know, social movements but after the anti-national education movement, and then the government announced that they would shelve the subject. So I would not say it's a success of the movement, but at least we got something. The government promised that they would not implement a subject called national education anymore. So I think it is a very big moment for me that, oh, we could really, you know, gain some changes through a social movement. You know, although to make a social movement succeed is never easy, but at least we could impose some pressure to the government, and our action could really change the decisions of the government.
Did you ever think about yourself being a young woman inside of the movement too? Like, it was important for a female voice to be contributing to the message?
Of course, I think it is also very important, because in Hong Kong, I think the situation now it's better, but just before, maybe, although there are also female activists, but most of the activists or politicians are also male, actually, in Hong Kong. We have female also, but not, you know, it's not that, it's not 50-50 with male, and yeah. So that's why I think it's also important to let the female's voice being voiced out. And the most important thing is that usually, I think it's not only the culture of Hong Kong, but over the world, that when there are public figures who are female, people would always judge that public figure by their appearance, by their body shape, or, you know, things like that, but not by what they have done. So I would not say that I have the power to change this culture, but at least I would say that this culture is kind of problematic.
It started as fighting against education reform, and then it turned into this massive, you know, movement. And I wonder, I don't know that you could have seen it coming, but I wonder now, like, once the Umbrella Revolution starts to, after the big protest in the 79 days, after you've had some time to look back on it, what do you think about what you all were trying to do versus what happened?
For me, both of the movement, the anti-national education movement and the Umbrella movement, it's also a very, also very important movement, not only in our lives, but also in Hong Kong history. So that's why we sometimes have to look back and think of, you know, how should we do better than before? And how were we, you know, what was the previous ourselves? And sometimes we would think back and look back.
What are you most proud of? And when you look back at that time, I mean, it doesn't even have to be the movement. I'm just wondering if there's kind of, when you think about the journey, not even you, but maybe as a collective, about what you were trying to do.
I think one of the moments that I really appreciate, kind of appreciate myself, is because when I joined scholarism 7 years ago, I didn't tell my parents because I was too afraid, and because I never talk about politics with my family. I never cared about politics. So, but after I joined scholarism, I don't know how to tell my parents, actually. So I just 2 months after I entered scholarism, I finally thought that, you know, I have to tell my parents that I have joined a political group in Hong Kong. So I think the moment that I had that courage to knock the door of my parents' room and to tell them I was participating in the political movement in Hong Kong, that was a very courageous movement for me. And because sometimes even you are courageous enough to face the strangers on the street, to distribute leaflets on the street, you might not be courageous enough to confront your family, or not confront, but to face your family and tell them the truth.
Wow. What was that conversation like?
I knocked the door and say that, oh, I have something to tell you. And then I started to say, oh, you know, the government is going to implement a subject called national education. So there is a student group against this subject called scholarism. So they are just people, students who had the same age as me. So I had joined this movement. I joined this group and fighting against national education, things like that. So I spent, I think, more than an hour explaining to them what is national education, what is scholarism, how are the members of scholarism. So I also have to clarify to them, oh, we are not controlled by any political groups or political parties. We are just a student group, that we are not controlled by anyone and things like that. Because they might be very, you know, worried that I might become the, you know, political tool of some political parties or things like that. So I have to clarify very clearly that we are not being controlled by anyone.
Did they ever come to you as time went on, like as the revolution got bigger and it turned into what it was there ever a moment where they like really checked in with you and said, you know, either in a supportive way or a moment that you remember that was like, wow, this is mom and dad making sure I'm okay?
I think the moment that they showed their support to me is the moment that, last year I ran the Legislative Council election, and later I was being disqualified by the government. And after my disqualification, there was an assembly that is, opposing to the disqualification, things like that, and they joined the assembly together. So that is one of the moment that, no, not one of the moment, the only one moment that two of them joined an assembly because of me, because of supporting their daughters. So I was quite, you know, moved by their action, yeah, by their decision.
Did you see them in the crowd, or did you know that they were going to come?
No, I didn't see them, yeah.
How did you find out they were there?
My dad told me that they were there.
Oh, wow. Were you surprised?
Yes, very surprised, because they seldom join, you know, assemblies or protests.
So once the revolution, or the umbrella revolution, after that 79-day protest, I think it's almost like there was what's happened this summer versus then. Tell me about the gap in the middle. I know the strategy changed. You know, you guys formed a new political movement, but I'm just wondering what it was like for you inside of those 2 to 3 years about how you were thinking about your own journey.
We found a new political party in 2016, and that was a totally new start for us, because scholarism was a student organization and the Musisto was a political party. Okay, was, because we are no longer a political party right now, because we couldn't get involved in any election because of the government's disqualification. But anyway, we was a political party in the moment we found it, and so that was a totally new challenge or new start for us, because the, you know, political party and student group were totally different things, and we run differently. And for political party, we have to aim for getting seats in the election. We have to think about election strategies or things like that that we didn't have to think about during the period of scholarism. So that's why the experience or what we did, it's kind of was totally different from before. And then we experienced disqualification of Nathan after he was being elected. Mm-hmm. And then we experienced disqualification of myself. And also in 2015, before we start our party, there was an issue that five booksellers selling books that was kind of criticizing the Chinese government. And the five booksellers were being kidnapped, politically kidnapped to the mainland China. So that was also a very big issue in the Hong Kong history, that people could be kidnapped to the mainland China because of political reason.
Inside of that couple years for you, was there, like, in the forming of the political party, there was like charges against you. When was the time when you were most maybe, I don't know, nervous about your own ambition?
What was the time that I worried most about me? I think it's now. I think it's this movement for me. Because during the Umbrella Movement, we were only worried about, you know, being arrested, being sent to prison, etc. But nowadays, in the movement this year, we would worry about being killed in the protests or being killed by pro-Beijing mafia. So it is a totally different atmosphere compared to Umbrella Movement or any moment in the Hong Kong history before. So yeah, for us, the most worrying or, you know, the moment that I was the most afraid is, I would say, now in this movement.
The sense of scale that Joshua, Agnes, and student activists were up against in 2014 is what caused them to dissolve scholarism and launch their own political party in 2016. They needed a seat at the table, and despite the government trying every trick in the book to keep them out of office, they continue to adapt and innovate.
Friends for millions of Hong Kong people joined the demonstration and protest within the past few weeks. It showed the spirit and dignity of Hong Kong people.
Bruce Lee was a Hong Konger.
Yes.
And you all have adapted something he used to speak to, which is moving like water. Is that something you've given a lot of thought to?
No, be water is a very new slogan in this movement. So it also means that we are not like the Umbrella Movement. We are not occupying the same place without moving and waiting for the government to come, but we are going to different places and leaving and go to another places again for our protests to impose more pressure to the government.
Like every movement, there are people who want to push the envelope on civil disobedience. But so often what echoes from this city of 7 million is a civil voice demanding universal suffrage. We'll get back to Agnes in a moment, but first, let's go back to the end of August, when the summer of protests had reached their 79th day. I caught up with Joshua on the way into his Demo Sisto political party headquarters, and he predicted that this would go on for weeks, even months.
I think how this movement have, I think it's really impressive for how after the end of Umbrella Movement 5 years ago, Hong Kong people are still really determined and passionate to continue this fight. That's why, I believe this movement will continue for even more weeks and months.
And then there's been a lot of protests, right? So when you see, especially in the West, right, when we see how we see big pictures, but I'm kind of thinking about in the morning for you, when you wake up and you know it's going to be a protest day, are you putting on the gear to fully go out and protest? Are you wearing the hard hat, the gas mask, the gloves, the shin pads?
Yeah, of course we need to wear the protective mask. Otherwise, we might be fired by tear gas and result in serious injury.
So did you do that this morning?
It's lucky that today don't have any protests, and yeah, we can. I can take a break. Otherwise, I will not free to conduct this interview.
Ah, okay, okay. So I was thinking about the documentary that you did, Teenager versus the Superpower.
Yeah.
And at the open of that movie, there's a great line. I think it was Derek that said, you know, China is a rising darkness. If you want to defeat Darth Vader, you have to train some Jedi.
Yeah.
Does it feel like that? Like you're still trying to train young Jedi?
I think how a primary school student at the age of 12 was just arrested by riot police 2 days ago, which just showed that how youngsters, they are more determined and passionate, stand in the front line. Even they prepare the last will for them.
Wow. Do you, when you see a 12-year-old, do you see yourself? I mean, that you were 14, right?
Yeah.
So what do you feel like the difference is between you and some of the young people that are joining now?
I think our sense of belongings to Hong Kong is really significant.
How?
How we born, we live, and we love Hong Kong.
And it's the same with the 12-year-olds that are protesting now as it was for you, and still is for you, I guess.
Yeah, so I think how from the generation of baby boomers to the generation of millennials, all we join the fight. I think that's the significant things.
3 days after our call on a Friday morning, Joshua was walking from his house to the subway when he was tossed into the back of a van. Agnes was arrested too. They came over to her house. The charge was unlawful assembly, but for a protest they were involved in back in June. Here they are later in the day, swarmed by media telling what happened.
All we ask for is just to urge Beijing and Hong Kong government withdraw the bill, stop police brutality, and respond to our calls on free election. Even I've been jailed for 3 times, and I need to face a trial on 8th of November, which means 3 months later. But we still keep on our fight. We shall not surrender. And I urge international communities to send a clear message to President Xi. Sending troops or using emergency ordinance is not the way out. We will continue our fight no matter how they arrest and prosecute us.
Do you think Beijing is behind
you? Later Q&A session, Agnes.
Joshua and I were arrested and at our home this morning of participating and he is organizing and I was participating in an unauthorized assembly on the 21st of June this year. We can see very clearly that the regime and the Hong Kong government is trying to create a white terror to try to scare Hong Kong people to not to participate in the social movement and in the democratic movement in the future.
On November 8th, Agnes and Joshua will both be back in court to confront these latest charges. Back to Agnes now, and where to go from here?
I think the most important thing is not to give up in the movement, because if we give up right now, Hong Kong would totally become a police state and the police would be totally uncontrollable. And so that's why most of the protesters, we are thinking that this might be the last movement in the Hong Kong history. This might be the last chance for us to fight for democracy. That's why we can't give up easily.
As a woman, do you have to think now, especially with like the violence and other things, is there other things that you're thinking about that you need to take with you and like to protect yourself? Because I know, or is it just, okay, we need a gas mask and we just need to get out there and protect each other?
Yes, of course, if you need to join a protest in Hong Kong, gas mask, helmet, and eye mask are also very basic thing to protect ourselves, especially when the police keep abusing the power to attack protesters. But as a female, I think one of the things that female would worry a lot about is the not only violence but sexual violence from the police, because we had a lot of cases that after the police arrest someone to the police station, because no one could monitor the situation inside the police station, so the police would abuse their power, you know, like male police would do the body check for female protesters, mm-hmm. and female protesters were forced to take off all their clothes, including underwear, during body check, and the breasts of the female protesters were being touched by male police, etc. So a lot of these kinds of sexual violence, sexual harassment happened also. So it is also, of course, male could also be, you know, sexually harassed. Also, of course, male have to be also very be careful, because police could do anything in the police station. No one could monitor them, and no one are going to charge them. No, they don't have any legal responsibility to bear.
Yeah, now I'm thinking about when you, because you personally have been arrested once or twice, so you must have run in or be more aware of that than most people, I would think.
I think not this case, because when Joshua and I were being arrested a few weeks ago, you know, because we are kind of public figures, so the police are very, you know, they were very careful of how to treat us. But for most of the protesters, that they were not well known at all. So I think what I experienced in the police station is nothing compared to many of the protesters, that they face a lot of violence in the police station.
There is, I was looking at your Instagram, and you did a post the other day, and I was wondering, I don't know if you have access to your phone, but I was wondering if you could, it looked like a really powerful statement that you were talking about the stress, I think, of the movement, and you're standing up against a white curtain.
Oh, the last post, right?
Yeah.
Let me see. Okay, it's very difficult to translate, because it is kind of, it is, you know, it's talking about the pressure in 3 months, and that couldn't be, you know, I could not relax in these 3 months because of different kinds of pressure, especially because of the social atmosphere in Hong Kong, that every day we will face, you know, people committing suicide, people getting hurt, being arrested, etc. And we hope that the light, or we hope that hope would arrive Hong Kong, but we never know that our future would be a better future or a worse future. But we could only believe that we would have a better future.
Wow. Okay. And then so this, I wanted to talk about that photo, and then the one that you did two before that on August 23rd, where it's looking through a piece of wood and you have your hands kind of to the side and you're looking through a, like, act like you're looking through your hands.
Ah, no, this one is actually a post talking that, because before we have a human chain movement, it's just calling people to join the human chain activity.
I don't know if you do this intentionally, but I thought it was really interesting how in your Instagram feed, you seem to have a balance of serious posts and photos that are happier. Like you purposefully are putting some joy out there too.
Yeah, sometimes in Hong Kong, we have too much pressure because of the social atmosphere, because the government would never listen to our opinion. But, you know, I would not say that I want to send joy yeah. to people, because I don't think I'm really a very joyful person. But anyway, I'm just expressing some of my feelings through Instagram, and yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for your time. And what's tomorrow look like for you?
Busy day again with tons of interviews and yes, and also protests. We have protests every day.
Sleep well tonight, okay?
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you haven't already, rate, review, subscribe, and tell all your friends. For more, you can follow us on IG, Facebook, and Twitter @JustDroppingIn. I'm JR Byersmith. and thanks for listening.